Last week we began the sugya of shotvim, and as we learned that if a person has a partner, a person is operating a business, he is responsible to run the business k'derech hasoichrim, the normal manner, and if he's mishana, if he does anything different, if he does anything unusual and takes any liberties or risks with the partnership's money, the halacha is any loss is la'atzmai. He has to suffer any loss. He has to reimburse his partner, and any revach, any gain is split among the partners. So not a good deal. And certainly, if a person is in a partnership, he has to make sure he is not mishana. He doesn't do anything different. One of the halachas that we discussed last week was that when a person is working for a partnership, the halacha is he is not allowed to take a side job. Now the Sma has a chiddush. The Sma says this halacha goes so far that if you have a partner, you're the managing member, and you take a side job, even though this side business that you're running, you're using your own money, the Sma says the profits get split with your partner. So it comes out, if you have a store, you find out that your salesman is doing some day trading on the side, even though he's using his own money, according to the Sma, it would come out that you have the right to take half the profits. The loss is he gets to keep, but if he's actually makes profits off his day trading, according to the Sma, it would come out that the boss is entitled to half of these profits. Now, halacha l'maaseh, this generally is not so negeya. Because the Nesivos explains, this is talking about the type of partnership where two people go into business, and they make up, they're partners in everything. And they go into the marketplace, they buy, they sell, they do this, they do that, and whatever they do, they're partners. So in such a case, if one person does something on the side, then it gets split among the partnership. Similar case, you hire someone to sell things in the store. So if he brings in his own line of goods, he has a responsibility to split the profits with his partner, with his employer. However, if they're partners in a specific thing, and the person goes ahead and does a separate business that they're not partners in, the Nesiva says in such a case, even the Sma would agree that he would keep the profits. So while it would be usher to do that, if it's going to take away from the time and from the koiches that he has, and take away from the focus, he's not allowed to. But if he does do it, if he's mishana and he uses his own money, the halacha is that he would keep all the schar. Now the Rama talks about a related case, which may sound not to be so negaya, but as we'll see, it comes up more often than you'd think. The Rama has a case where you have two partners, they go into business together, and apparently one day business was slow. So one of the partners figured he didn't have anything else to do, so he went ahead and he robbed a bank. Robbed the bank. Now it seems that was a lot more lucrative than their day job. So the other partner said, okay, we're partners. Everything is 50-50. I want half the revach, half the profits, whatever. Let's go through whatever was in the vault. Let's split it 50-50. Zok the Rama, he's right. Every time you have a partnership, if whatever one partner does, the other person is entitled to half the profits. So the Rama says, you split the profits. Now, kamat all the achroinim argue. They say that it's one thing if you do a legitimate business, so if your partners, you're 50-50, you split all the profits. But when you're stealing money, there's no einshleach l'dvar avera. Most achroinim say this halacha will not apply and you will not have to share the winnings. But it's machlokes. So ma'aseh shehaya kachaya. Two partners went into the nursing home business. There was a managing member and there was an investor. And this arrangement went on for some time. Eventually they got into a fight. They ended up with a dentaira over many different issues. But among the issues, what came out while they were going through this fight is that the investor discovered the manager was on the side taking kickbacks, doing all sorts of Medicaid fraud, and crazy stuff was going on. Now, the investor says, listen, I don't do business like that. And I would never take kickbacks. I would never do the kind of things that you did. But we're partners. And now that you went ahead and you did it, why should you pocket the $5 million? Let's split it. So this is our Ramah. The Ramah says that if one partner steals money, then he has to split it with his shutif. So in this case, regardless of the fact that he should, had no business doing it in the first place and it was Aser, the bottom line is, now that he has the money, he would have to share it with his partner. True. So that is true. By a goy, you'll have to figure out whether it's gezel, matakum, tozakum. It's a good point. We'll have to deal with it. But conceptually, at least if the person's not around or in a case where there's no chi v'heshev esak zeila, so there, according to Ramah, you would have the right to split the profits. Now, we mentioned this in Machlokes, but it comes out, it's very interesting. Because in the case that we started off with, we have a partnership, and my partner goes ahead and robs a bank. So there, robbing a bank has nothing to do with the partnership. And he may have done it during business hours, probably not, actually. But the fact that we're partners, according to most Achroinim, doesn't give me the right to share in the spoils when he robs the bank. In the case of the nursing home, it's much better for two reasons. First of all, it wasn't just robbing a bank. It was related to the business. He was supposed to do the business. He was supposed to be sending the billing. And he used this operation in order to defraud the government and to get more than he's entitled to. So in this case, there are some of the Achroinim say, in this case, perhaps, the partner does have a right. It's a profit, a revach, that came from the business. It may have been usur, but it was produced by the business. The second factor is that what would have happened if he would have gotten caught? So if he gets caught, everyone's in trouble. It's very nice. The investor is going to say, I didn't know. Either they will believe him or they won't. But by this manager going ahead and committing this fraud, he was placing the investor at risk. He's placing him in sakana. So in this case, some achroinim say, here you will agree, since your action is placing both of you at risk, that's why both of you have the right to share in the profits. It's only in the case where you're robbing a bank, where it has nothing to do with your partner, there you keep it for yourself. So therefore, in this case, it's a very big machlokes. You will probably not be able to be mitzi mamon, but if the investor was a muchzik, I'm not so sure you can force him to return the money. But there's a catch over here. There's a catch. Because it's true. The investor says, I want to share in this. It was created through my business. Maybe he was entitled to it. But you have to tell the investor, is that, listen, if you want to take the money, so there are shitas that say that you could. But if you take the money, along with the money comes the liability. If tomorrow the feds come knocking on the door, and now suddenly you have to hire an attorney, and you have to have savings because of this. So Bishleimo, if you hire the person on his own, he goes ahead and does all sorts of garbage. Any losses that come out are his responsibility. That's the halach. But the moment you go ahead and you say you're willing to take, you want your share of the winnings of the geneva, there the Ramah says, once you do that, along comes the liability. So if you're going to take the money, you now have to accept responsibility for at least your chelik of any hefset of anything that will happen. Now the Me'ilt Staka that the Pesach Yeshuva quotes is not so sure about this. He says that, why? Every time a partner is Mishana, you send a partner to do business, and he does the wrong thing. So he mentioned before, what's the halacha? If there are profits, you split them. If there are losses, we tell the partner, the person, he had no business being Mishana, you're responsible for any loss, any resulting loss. So the Me'ilt Staka says the same thing here. This person had no business stealing. So, but now that he did, since he used the partnership's assets, the halacha should be that you split it. The fact that the other person takes his share, he's taking it because al pi halacha he's entitled to it. Me'ilt Staka says, but afal pi kein, if there's a loss later, they don't have to share it. Now, in a chanami, if there's a loss later, so you have to hire, if the feds come knocking and he has to give it, you have to give back the profits that you took. But to take additional losses, to have to take money out of pocket, there the Milt Stucker argues and says you wouldn't be mechuyev to do. So this leads us to the next question. Now I'm sure it's not going to get anybody here, but conceptually, let's say someone was listening to the tape to the shiur, and he happens to be an administrator for a nursing home. He hears the shiur, and he starts thinking, "I've been taking kickbacks and doing these frauds for years. Now, like a good boy, I know I have a partner, so I've been taking half of the kickbacks. And I've been giving it to my boss, but it comes out in halacha. Most achroinim argue in the Ramah, and most achroinim say." If you do a gneiva, you keep it. So he calls his boss up and says, I want my money back. All the kickbacks I've been taking and giving you for these years, give it back to me. Chayri, he has a good time. Now, could be the boss can say, can we like the Ramah? According to the Ramah, I'm entitled to it. But it's not so simple. It is. Most Achrayim seem to reject the Ramah. So it would come out according to a fair amount of shittas. The person can demand a refund. But over here, there's an interesting tshuva from the Maharival. Maharival says that whenever there's a general rule, whenever a person gives money, whenever he makes a payment, we assume people don't give money away for no reason. And we assume that if this person went ahead and split the kickbacks or split the geneva that he got, we assume one of two things. We assume that he looked into it. And he decided if an alpi halacha he didn't owe the money, he's giving it as a present. Because people don't give away anything before they really find out the halacha and before they make sure that they really have to. So we presume that he knew about it and he was giving it away as a present for whatever his reason was. Now this is not so simple. There's a Machan Ephraim that says people are not such tamei chachamim. Many people didn't even think of the question. And therefore, the Machan Ephraim argues and says that he taka can get his money back. Person can say, "I didn't realize that I was not mechuyev to split the geneva, and the manager would be able to be teveya back all of the money that he split." Again, halacha l'maisa, it's going to be hard to be moitzi mamon against. First of all, you have Maharival, and second of all, you have the shittas that hold anyway, like the Ramah. But conceptually, there would be such a taina. Well, not no money, half the money.
Well,
it depends what it is. If he's not a partner, if he's just a shliach in a chrami, ein shliach l'dvar avera. I mean, there's a general rule that ein al mechaytu v'loy loy. It doesn't make sense for him to be doing it for someone else's benefit. But if he did it, it's not a bad idea. So this is the halacha of Gneva. Lamayis again, if there is an actual case, because there are many machloikesim, the muchzik will probably win because he'll have a kimli. And certainly I'm not recommending or condoning kickbacks or Medicaid fraud. But if there is such a shaila, then this is the issue that would have to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out that even let's say the case of Talia Sakam or any case that you ended up making more than the actual profit that was unrealized, it's unexpected.
Okay, so that depends. That we're going to deal with more when we get to Hilchos Shluchim. But there is a case, for example, where you send someone as a salesman, as a shliach, to sell something to a guy. He sells it for the right price. And the person, he ends up with more money. And for argument, let's assume the guy is not around, it's not being returned. He's supposed to get $100, the fellow hands him $200.
And still.
Right. There the Maharival says, the salesman can keep it. Because you saw, if you would go, you'd sell the item for $200. So if you sold it for $200, it belongs to the owner, whoever owned the item is the one that isn't held to the money that was paid for. Over here, it was sold for $100. The guy, by mistake, gave you another $100. That's the same thing as the Metziah. the seller has no right to it, and therefore in that case, the shliach would have the right to keep it. A shotif, the Aruch HaShulchan said, might be different. A shotif, because just like we're saying by Gneiva and Metziah, it could be everything they do is assumed to be for everyone. But in the case of a salesman or a case of a shliach, in such a case where you ended up with the extra money, you can keep it.
Let's say the other way around. The owner is the one who got the money, not the salesman.
So there also, since the owner is the one that actually got the money, it may have been caused through the salesman. So that most of the salesman, if he was goyer mit, that might depend on Machlokes Rashi and Rif, which we'll get to in Hilchos Shluchim. But in such a case where it's a windfall, basically whoever gets the money first is Eichen. It's like a Metziah. It's like Hefker. It's something which is just given by mistake. When it's being sold for more, that's a different halacha. Because then the money is being given in exchange for this item, so the owner of the item has a claim on it. Yeah, he's a shliach. The way he's being paid to do his work, the way he's being paid, instead of being paid a flat salary, he's being paid based on a percentage of the sale or a percentage of the profit. But that's, it's no different than a shliach. What?
Why is that considered?
It just isn't. He's not a shliach. If he doesn't own equity, if there's a hefsid, he usually doesn't suffer the loss. He's just pushed a hired hand, and this is how he's getting paid. Now, another very common Shaila that comes up in Hilchos Shluchim and Shutvim is what happens when a partnership needs additional capital. And they say statistically that 80 or 90% of businesses that open shut after the first year, and most of it, the biggest, most common cause is they run out of capital. They don't realize how much money they're going to need to build the business until the volume grows. So what happens when partners have a business and one day it needs additional capital? Now, this is especially common because very often the reason why you have a partnership in the first place is that one person has the contacts, he has the idea, but he doesn't have the money. So he brings in someone else to provide the funds. He tells him, listen, I need $150,000 to get off the ground. Let's start as partners. And then as time goes on, very often he miscalculated. They need additional funds. What is the halacha? Can you force a partner to put in additional money into a partnership? Now, the first point is, and as we've said many times, is this is another good reason to write an operating agreement. Because if you don't write an operating agreement, we'll go through the halacha. Sometimes it will be clear, sometimes it won't be clear. You're going to end up with problems. This is something which, if you write an operating agreement, you spell out very clearly capital calls, who's responsible, under what terms. It saves a lot of problems down the road to make it clear before you begin the partnership. However, if you do not write an operating agreement, so here the halacha is, let's think about it for a minute. What does it mean to be a partner? What does a partnership mean? Now today it means you open a company. And we're all, but again, in times of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have a company, it was people, they were partners. So there are two types of partnerships. One kind of partnership is two people get together, they own a building. I own half the building, you own half the building. Since it's the same building, we are partners in this building. Now, if we need additional money, what right do I have to demand you put in additional money? We're partners in the building. So it's true anything that happens to the building will be 50-50, but I have no right or no claim against you to put in additional capital. The other type of partnership is in work. Two people are going to do business together. You have two lawyers, two accountants. They'll make up. We're both going to do business, and we're going to split the income. So in that case, they're essentially working for each other. Two people working for each other, again, there's no claim put in additional money. I have to work. So that means I have to be a lawyer, I have to be an accountant, I have to do whatever work I'm supposed to do. But to demand that you take money out of your account and put it into the business, there's no such claim. And therefore, in halacha, technically speaking, in the halachos of shutvis, there's no claim for additional capital. Now, that being said, there are two cases where you will have a claim. The first is, we mentioned last week, that whenever you're running a business, whenever you're running a partnership, you have to act kederach haseichra. Whenever there's a question, how do we run the business, you follow the norm. Whatever the norm is, that's what you do. So if your business is reached a point where the derech haseichrim is, the business is doing well, but the derech is we need to expand, we need to put in additional capital. So the derech ha'sechrim is to go ahead and find the money and put additional money in. Now it's true I can't force you. If you don't want to, I can't force you to do it. But if the derech ha'sechrim is to do one thing, and you don't want to do it, because you choose not to, you can't afford whatever your reason is, then I have the right to dissolve the partnership. So I won't be able to force you to stay a partner and put in the money. But if I want to, if the derech is to make this expansion, the derech is to put in the money and you don't want to, I have the right to say, it's been mokum hefsid, I have the right to dissolve the partnership. What? Hmm? Again, if there, you'll have to look at the, you know, every case will be different. If that's the derech, that's the derech. But I'll call upon him if the derech is to put in additional money. You can't force him to do it, but you could force him, you could dissolve the partnership if he will not cooperate. That's true, and very often it won't be kedai. Your business is doing well, but you want to expand. So the derech ha'sefer might be to expand, but unless you're ready to take on the whole business yourself, you're not going to be able to force him to do it. And that's a good reason to write an operating agreement. So then obviously they're not going to dissolve it. They would rather stay in a smaller partnership than to shut down. But in a case where one of them is capable of taking it on by himself, then he can give the other one an ultimatum. Either put in the extra money, which is the derech ha'sechrim, or let's stop right here, let's dissolve it, and I'll continue. Oh, fine. We're getting there. Zog the Nesivos, a very important yisoid. And it's an important yisoid, not just in Hilchos Shutvim, it comes up all the time. The Nesivos says that whenever two people need something, and they need it, it's not a preference, they both need it. That halacha is one person can do it and send the other person a bill. One of the examples is you have two fields, they're both being fed by the same stream, by the same irrigation canal. It gets stuffed up. So one of them decides to play hardball. Nah, I don't need it. It's okay. I'm not fixing it. It's very easy to say that because he knows the other farmer needs the water. So once the other farmer fixes it, he figures he'll get free water. Zok the Nesivos, the halacha is whenever two people need something, the halacha is you can each of them can force the other person to do it, or they can do it on their own and send the person the bill. There's no freeloading. The same way if there's a city and it needs a wall around it, then everyone has the right to force every person in the city to contribute money because you need it. It's needed for the safety of the city. Everyone has to chip in. You can't say, I don't care. I'm not worried about Kanovim. I'm not worried about armies. If it's needed, you have to chip in. So Zok the Nesivos, this is true all over. Whenever, if it's something that we both need, then you can force the person. Based on this, Zok the Nesivos, if two of you own a house together, and now suddenly the roof, that needs a new roof. So it's true. In Hilchos Shutvim, we're Shutvim on a house. I have no right to ask you to put in more money. But in a case where you need the roof fixed just as badly as I do, and just you're playing hardball, and you're being tough, Zokhli Nesivos, I can force you to fix it. And I can put in the money, and I can send you a bill. And Bezdin will force the person to pay. So it'll come out, going to a case of partnerships. If we have the partnership, and now there's something which is a tzairich lishnei, and we both need it, in such a case where it's a hechrich, where it's absolutely needed, then you can force the other partners to put in whatever other additional capital is necessary. So if you're talking about a case where we have a business and it's running fine, but the derech is to expand and to make an investment and open up another location, then the nesivos won't apply. That's not a hechrich, that's not something which is needed. It's nice, it's a good idea, it's smart, but I can't force you to put in money just because it's smart. It's only in a case where we have our partnership. Something happens, the boiler blows in the building, and we have to put it in, and you need it as much as I do, then I can put in the money, I can send you the bill, and I can force you to pay. The Beis Shlomo has an interesting case. He says that if you have two partners, and one of them wants to buy insurance. So he says, buying insurance is a very normal thing. It's considered, he says, that qualifies for nesivos. Since anyone who has a building, it's normal to have fire insurance, to have normal insurance. In such a case, if one partner refuses to pay the bill, you can pay the insurance and force him to pay for his share. He can't say, I don't need it, I don't want it. So Meister Shalya Kafali. They were two partners. They owned the building together. Came time to renew their insurance. They were a little tight for cash. One of them said, you know what? We can't afford it. I don't want to buy insurance. The other one said, how can you have insurance on the building? We have to do it. They're fighting, yes, no, back and forth. One of the partners goes ahead and renews the insurance and sends in the check for the entire amount. 2 days later, the building burns down. The insurance company sends a $3 million check. So the partner, they paid for the insurance, cashed the check. And he said, listen, I paid for the insurance. I keep the money. The other partner said, whoa, I'm ready to pay for half. I'll give you half. So what's the halacha? It's like this. In a case where, let's say they've been made up. One of the partners said, you know what, you want insurance, you do it yourself. In such a case, if I pay the premiums, I'm entitled to the insurance payment. It may have been your building, but the bottom line is, if I paid for the insurance, the deal is, if I'm paying the premiums, the insurance company has to pay me for this, for whatever was covered. So if it was clear that you weren't going to reimburse him, the halacha is, then the one that paid for the insurance is the one that would be entitled to keep the entire payment. Problem over here is, that over here no one said anything. The halacha is, as we just explained, that if one partner pays, he has the right to force the other partner to pay half. Zog de Beis Shlomo, in such a case, when people make payments, they usually, he's not in the insurance arbitrage business. He doesn't, this person wasn't going around paying for insurance on other people's properties. He was doing it over here. So if he has the right to demand that his partner contribute half, the Beis Shlomo says he probably planned on doing that. And therefore, they're each entitled to half of the payment. But the Beis Shlomo says, if he does in fact claim that when I made the payment, I had no intention of going back to you and asking you for half, he says, if he's a muchzik, it's going to be very hard to be moitzi mamon. He said, you have to be very skeptical about the claim. But if it's taka true, or if he's a muchzik and there's a suffik, you cannot be moitzi mamon. So if anyone does have a partnership, it's a very good idea to make sure you pay half of the premiums, because otherwise you can end up in pretty serious trouble.
In most cases, even if the partner did not want to pay because whatever he was in a very bad financial situation, but generally this is a business expense which is going to come out of the income of the property. So how can a person, I mean, Is it shy that a person is going to kind of, that I wasn't going to take any money from the building itself to pay it, I would pay it.
The Beis Shlomo says you have to be very skeptical about a claim, such a claim. But if he paid it out of his pocket and says, this was my intention, and he's the muchzik, it's hard to be moitzi mamon. If on the other hand, if you look at the books and records, and it's on the, you know, it's, if you put it on as a on the books as a business expense or as a loan to the business, obviously it will be different. But the business is going to have to determine what was in his intention at the time that he advanced the money. Because like this, it's not so much a windfall. If I would go over to you and tell you, listen, let's make a deal. I'm going to pay you $1,000 a year. And if that house next door burns down, you'll give me $100,000. So if we make such a deal, that's fine. Now again, legally there's a concept of insurable interest. If you're a partner in half of it, you probably do have an insurable interest. But it's basically an insurance company is paying in exchange for the premiums, they are guaranteeing or they're going to reimburse you for the value of the insured item. So there's no real reason why you have to own the item. So as long as, in this case, you're a partner, and you pay the entire premium, that if this building burns down, they'll pay $3 million. You don't need to share the building. My case was, here's $1,000. If that house across the street burns down, it's not my house, but the deal is, if that house burns down, you'll give me back $100,000. We can make a deal like that. It might be an asmachta, we might have to deal with kinyonim, but that's what insurance is. In exchange for the premiums, they're not paying you for your loss. They're paying, in exchange for the premiums, they're going to pay you the value of this property. So who owns it is technically not relevant. Again, you'll need an insurable interest, but it's technically not negeo as long as this is the deal. This is the deal. That's good. That's the Beis Shlomo's point. So if when the insurance company cares about one thing, you pay the premium, they're going to reimburse, they're going to pay for the value of this property. It's a $3 million policy. As long as you pay the premiums, they owe that policy. Now, between the partners, we have a question. If one advanced the money, was he doing it on behalf of both of them? In which case, he has a claim, he can demand half the premiums from his friend, and the friend is, and the partner is going to get half the payment? Or do we say no? He did it all on his own, and he takes all the risk. He is not going to be entitled to a refund if it doesn't burn down. But if it does burn down, he keeps it all. And that's a factual question. No. You don't have to convey anything. If I pay for a policy on that person's house, he doesn't convey anything to me. But I pay for a policy, and the insurance company, if that house burns down, they have to pay me. No. Because if I paid for the policy, it's my right to payment. It's my insurance. What's insured happens to be a property that's owned by both of us. But at least in halakha, there's no reason why I cannot insure someone else's property. So you'll have to deal with legal matters of your insurable interest. You'll deal with your attorney on that. But as far as the deal, I don't need his permission. I'm paying, same way if I decide to take out a second policy. I tell him, on my own, I'm taking out a second policy on the whole building. So if I do that, again, if it's legally, that's okay, that's fine. It's my deal my gamble with an insurance company.
How is it different than Shutav Shiara Masada Shutavas and then the other, and then Sidim, do we have any?
Exactly. So the Nesivus is saying when it's something which is absolutely needed, you can force the person to pay, and then forget about Yoirid, Shva, Chaitza, you can force him to pay. In something which is not absolutely needed, but you went ahead and you made your own investment, then you're a Yoirid and it's subject to the Mechaber, the Ramah, those different Shailas. So it comes out that when you have a partnership with someone, to a certain extent, your liability is not limited. Because if there's anything which is needed, which is absolutely needed, you would have a chiyuv to take money out of your pocket. Now the bar is very high. It has to be the roof. It's something which we need and we have to do together. But in such a case, you can force the person to put in additional capital. Anything which isn't absolutely needed, that falls into the other category. If it's a derech ha-soichrim, if he refuses to do it, you can dissolve the partnership, but you can't actually force him to go ahead and to do it.
The check, in this case, the insurance company, even though you are making the premium payment, you're paying the payment, but the policy is owned by the business, and the check is going to be get out to the business. So is this guy called a mochzik? Does he yank check out of it? It's made out of the business.
If it goes into the business account, then he probably will not be a mochzik. If he takes it out, that's true. There is a halacha that shutfim are generally not considered mochzakim zealze. So as far as mochzakus, you're right. In many cases, it would not be a mochzik. But you'd still bezim would have to figure out. Now that there's no mochzik, bezim will have to figure out what were the parties' intent when they went ahead and when they did this. The simplest way of looking at it is what happened after he made the payment. Did he ask his partner for reimbursement? If he asked him for reimbursement, he's being Magala Das clearly that he was doing it for both of them. But if he made the payment, if he's doing this for a few years and he never asked for payment, that would be a raya that it was a private deal, and in that case, he would be entitled to it. Okay, we actually didn't cover as much ground as we hoped to, so the halachos of Shmira and Hezek we'll get to next week. Thank you.